Welcome to Talk the Talk. My name is Fevelema and this is our first video vlog ever. And I'm so excited because I'm going to be having with me a guest speaker. Who we've been hearing for in most of our podcast. His name is Victor. Hi, Victor.
Hello.
Yes, God bless you.
Do you want to gain financial independence? Are you tired of only working 9 to 5 just to stay alive? Motivation Crypto and Forex Academy is here for you. Learn how to start trading both Forex and cryptocurrencies.
We're going to move on to our topics for today. Our topic for today is Dragon God. Yes, so Dragon God. We had...
Jesus Christ is the perfect picture of who God is. Now, I'm going to explain some of the things that happened in the Old Testament. Jesus Christ explains God perfectly. What we see, the Bible calls him the fullness of the Godhead bodily. What we see Jesus do is what God does. What we see Jesus do not do is what God does not do. Just like when Peter cut off someone's ear just before Jesus' betrayal, or while Jesus was being betrayed.
Yeah.
What did Jesus Christ do? He took the ear and fixed it back. And he said, put your sword in. Because they did not understand the other time when he was saying, take swords with you. He was talking about what was about to happen. He was giving them an expression of what was about to happen, how violent things were going to get. He was not expecting them to fight anybody. So he kept the record straight. I do not destroy, not in my presence. He fixed it. In the end of the age, there will be destruction for everyone who refuses salvation. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 tells us that this will happen away from the presence of God. So the absence of God is destruction. Who is the destroyer? The devil. He has created a system with man. That's death.
Yeah.
You get. And God will take away his presence from those who refused his salvation. Will take away himself from those who refused his salvation. And they'll be left to the consequences of their action, which is death, because the wages of sin is death. You see, the wages of sin is death. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift is with God. The wages is man's. In fact, even James tells us, every man, you know, since when he conceives a thought, he lusts after something. And the thought leads to, you know, sin, and then sin, death. And then he now says, do not err, my beloved brethren. Before now, he said, let no one say he was tempted by God. That means the thought in your heart was not God tempting you. It was your lust. So do not err in saying that it was God. Okay. God is not involved in the chain reaction. From loss to sin to death, God is not involved. So it's not God at all. It's man, and you know, unfortunately, we live in a world that is under man's.
So those people that were direction. Like sending him text threatening messages that were actually Christians.
Mm-hmm. They are in error. They are acting like James and John. They are people who curse in the name of God, you know, and. If we understand what the name of Jesus is, which is God's name to all humanity, you would get that you can never pray a prayer in that name and get evil happen to someone. What works is the influence of Satan hiding behind the mask. It's not God. You can't do that and get evil to someone. And if you talk about this guy who was opposing Paul when he was preaching, and Paul said, be blind for a season. You see that? Paul said, be blind for a season, and he missed, Bible says, covered his face, and he couldn't see, he was taken away. You see, Paul did not destroy his life. What happened was that he was opposing God's salvation plan, or God's salvation purpose, as Paul was preaching. So Paul needed to get him out of the way. And he did not say, fire should come down and consume him. He said, be blind for a season. In other words, till I'm done here, you will not be able to express yourself, basically. So it's not about destroying lives. It's just about accentuating the purpose of God. Okay. All through scriptures, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he told us who the thief is. John chapter 10, verse 10. The thief cometh not but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So he's not the destroyer. He's not the thief. He's not the killer. He's the devil, and he uses men. In fact, one of my friends usually say comically that men are even more wicked than Satan. That even Satan sometimes is shocked at the things men do, because it's
in
amazing.
The eyes of men is desperately wicked.
Desperately wicked.
Okay, so now let's move on to like other topics in Christianity and religion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are so many controversial topics that have been going online that are saying you should not pay your tithes, why should you pay your tithes, that your tithes are these, your tithes are...
Okay.
So I want, let's, as a Christian scholar, what do you have to say about that?
First of all, I want to say that it's not wrong to pay tithes. It is your money. And a tithe simply means a 10% of your income. And if you decide to give it, it's your money. However, we know that when it comes to money, there's a spirit that we have to put in its place when dealing with money, what the Bible calls the unrighteous mammon. And that spirit works in two distinct ways. One is that spirit aggravates greed,
mm-hmm.
and another part is, or the second part is that spirit inspires selfishness.
Okay.
Uh-huh. So,
when it comes to things of money, people get overly sensitive.
So it's so simple. The Bible teaches, even in the New Testament, about giving. And it would be preposterous for any preacher or any Christian to be against giving for the work of the ministry.
Okay.
You must give, because they took money and gave to the soldiers and said, lie about this man's resurrection. He did not rise from the dead. So we need money to also push the message that, you know, Jesus Christ rose from the dead, which is the hallmark of all scriptures. So what we do with money is that we use it to propagate the gospel through the internet, through videos and, you know, all that we do for my sound systems and all that. Now, that's the primary motive of the monies that come to church. And of course, for welfare too, because the church as a religious institution, the Bible says true religion should be involved in the welfare of the needy, you know, the motherless, the widows, you know, and all that. So that's what we do with money. And the church runs as an organization.
Yeah.
So
there's no organization without money.
You understand? We need money. Even NGOs need money, people to partner. So how that money is gotten is where the problem is. Now, I don't believe that we should use threatening words as preachers to tell people that if you don't give, there's a curse.
And most people like to... I don't want to mention it.
That's manipulation.
There are people that actually tend to say, you call people, renowned pastors, thieves. And say, you are a thief. You are asking people to pay their tithes. You know, these people. I don't want to really call
them.
No,
we're not calling names. If someone is manipulating other people to give, he's actually stealing from them. It's fraud.
Okay.
You get it's fraud to say you should give so that God would not destroy the work of your hands and all that. It's, I mean, common sense should tell you that there are people who do not pay tithes who are doing well financially.
Yes.
All right. So we don't need to pay tithes to prosper. However, we need to give to the church. And now I did not call percentage, because the New Testament, forget about how those scriptures may look in Hebrews 7 and where else, Matthew, where Jesus Christ was reprimanding the Pharisees about paying tithe of the cumin, and those things were not even money itself. And he now said, you do that, but you have left the weightier matters of the law. So money actually is not the center when it comes to tithe, even the New Testament. The point is, Abraham gave tithe of his spoils once. It was once, and we are not told again that he gave tithe. Jacob promised to give tithe. We don't know whether he gave the tithe or not. And just these are once. However, we know that in the New Testament we are to give for these things I already mentioned, but the percentage was not given. Everyone should give what he's desired in his own heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So there's no percentage attached, you know. So that's it. The pastors of the churches have the right to tell their congregants to give. And if a pastor now says, as a member of this church, we have a system that you should as well be able to keep 10% of your money aside. I practice it. Our leaders practice it. You should be able to keep 10% of your money aside and bring it to us, you know, for the work of ministry. It's just basic. In the book of Acts, like we just talked about, they gave 100% of some of their proceeds.
Yes,
you know, so
they were actually giving all.
Do you understand? So it's not a difficult thing. Now, if you overflock it that, my pastor asked for tithes, he is stealing, check your heart. You might just be selfish. if you are on that other category that no, I must give because if I don't give, I will not be blessed. Check your heart too. You might have been deceived, or you are the one being manipulating people.
Don't use God to do doom.
Do you understand? God is not kalu kalu. It doesn't work that like that. The Bible says that He would cause you to abound in the grace of giving. That's what it means when it says that you multiply your seeds soon. That's an allegory. Allegory means that it represents the grace of that stuff. So it will cause you to abound in that grace of giving as you continue to give. But no percentage is attached. You should remember to take care of your own needs. In fact, let's even start with the fact that some people don't even understand that money is in the hands of systems of men. Yes, money is simply in the hands of the systems of men. It's not God's prerogative to. That's why I don't believe in all these people that said this. They had miracle money. No. Money.
What's miracle money?
Miracle money means that I just went to my bank account and I saw money there and I don't know how it got there. Or I opened my place in my house and I saw money there. You know, or I went to the ATM and I didn't have any money in my account, but I put my ATM card and I withdrew money. You know, and there was no money in my account. No.
Or you put your church sticker on the gas and your gas did not finish.
Well, just don't water to wine. But let's stay on money first.
Okay.
Let's just stay on money. People say a lot of funny things. And in the charismatic and Pentecostal circle, is whoever is popular that we authenticate the most. And it's not supposed to be so. The word of God is the most, you know. Jesus Christ never got involved in all those kind of doctrines and theologies about money. No. Even all the revelations that people catch from the Old Testament, most of them were not mentioned in the New Testament. The only thing that the apostles taught, and the Bible says that we should stay on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, that's the people like Paul, Peter, and James, and John. The only things that they taught about money is that let he that, you know, stole, steal no more. Let him walk with his own hands, that which is good, that may have, you know, what to give. They also taught that whoever preaches that gain is godliness is destitute of the truth. That's Paul's word. He now said godliness with contentment is great gain, you know. So they thought that we should get involved in normal vocations, normal career, make money, do business and do it well, and then you give to the ministry from there, you give to the poor from there, you know. And those people that say I don't give to my money to pastors, I give it to the poor, no problem. But the truth is that you are not obeying New Testament order. Give to the poor, give to pastors. The Bible says that this was Paul quoting from the Old Testament, but it's in the New Testament. They that labor in the temple should feed from the temple. Do not muzzle the ox that tread the corn. That was still Paul quoting the Old Testament. Paul said, this was that sow unto you spiritual things, that's what pastors do. Their words are spiritual things, you know. They teach you godliness, they teach you about God. You know, he said, should we not reap from you physical things? So you are not authentic enough if you say you don't give to churches, you know, you give to the poor. The poor is not your God, and the God that you serve says you must or you should give to his household, you know, for the needs in his household, which involves the pastor's welfare as well. But let me just say this quickly, you are giving to his needs, not his greed.
Okay. So I think we had a very lovely, you know, I think you broke it down.
I wish our friend was here to, you know, give us more questions.
Yes, I would like to ask you a question.
A lot, you know, of, you know, really,
you know,
big
saying,
talking here.
Lastly, people that believe that God exists and that God should not be worshipped.
Okay.
Like, what do you think on that?
I mean, that's very strange. God exists, but it shouldn't be worshipped.
Like humans set up their own laws and they wrote the Bible, so probably they gave their own.
So what is the place of God?
They gave their own ideologies, like they influenced their own ideologies from other religions that they worship, like the Greek mythology, into Christianity.
Okay, I would. It's a long story to start talking about, you know, how God communicated to us, man, through angels, you know, by the prophets, you know, and then Jesus Christ came.
You know, the person gave me a point of saying Easter.
Oh, okay.
You know, Easter came in through Easter is the belief that Easter, according to history, right, you know, Christian, that Easter did not come into Christianity.
Paganism that kind of brought it in and we synced it in.
Yes, and even worshipping God on Sunday.
Yeah, and all that.
Yes.
Okay.
So that all those things influence.
Even Christmas. Every Christmas, yes. I have friends that get angry that we are celebrating Christmas. You see, it's simple. Romans chapter 14, the Bible says that let he that observes the day, let him not, you know, be an antagonist to him that do not observe, and vice versa. Because he that is observing it because of his faith towards God, and he that is not observing, is not observing because of his faith towards God. So let everybody be fine. You get, so you can't say I'm wrong for observing it, then you are right. That's not the point here. However, I enjoy Christmas and Easter a lot, especially Easter, because Easter, I don't know how, you know, the full details of how it started, but we know that it is not in scripture to say, okay, we must celebrate Easter. There is nothing like that. Mm-hmm. There are no clear-cut instructions. And it's good to be silent where the apostles are silent and loud where they are loud. So I will not say everybody must celebrate Easter. No. But this is my point. Easter is an opportunity for us to show the message of the cross much more. There are many churches who don't preach the message of the cross until Easter. So they more or less preach the gospel once a year or one season in a whole year. So it's a good opportunity for us to, you know, push this thing. You know, push the message of the cross, push the message of the resurrection, you know, and of course get people saved, get people to know God better and love Him. So it's just totally out of place for, you know, someone to have an issue with that, to be asked for.
Well, thank you very much for coming here. We really, really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I just want to say that if you have any questions concerning religion, concerning our podcast on this religion, please do not hesitate to get back to us and contact us. Don't forget to subscribe. Just you get newsletters from us, and then also don't forget to share. Tell people about Talk That Talk. Yeah, I'm Fabo and I love to talk. Bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yeah. So thank you very much for coming here. We really, really appreciate you.
Thank you.
I just want to say that if you have any questions concerning religion, concerning our podcast on this religion, please do not hesitate to get back to us and contact us.
Yeah.
The full video on this vlog is going to be out, but we are going to be breaking the podcast into series for those of you that would like to listen to it in episodes. So we just want to say thank you very much, and I hope you've seen our face, because most people are like, we want to see your faces, we want to know who you are. So I will
have IBK or Victor, whatever you call
it. I'll be bringing other guests that have actually featured on other podcasts, who are our major people that we actually feature on the podcast online for you guys to see them. We'll also be going live once in a while too, so we want you guys to watch out for us. Please don't forget to subscribe. You don't even need to subscribe. Just go there, drop in your details. You get newsletters from us. And then also, don't forget to share. Tell people about Talk That Talk. Yeah, I'm Fable and I love to talk. Bye.
Bye.